Welcome back to this second hour of Leading Edge Medicine. Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only. Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians. All while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you the opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here are your hosts for Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat, along with their co-host, Lynette Morgan.
And welcome back to Leading Edge Medicine on this beautiful February morning. I'm Lynette, Dr. Mixon here, along with Dr. Samira Umat. We were just talking about rapamycin. And Dr. Mixon, you were going to go into a little more detail about the longevity therapies. But let me give the phone number real quick for those listening that would like to call in. John, we'll get to your call in just a moment. That's 800-465-8770. With your questions, we are live in the studio, 800-465-8770.
Okay. Actually, this may take a while, John, so relax a bit. The PDE5 inhibitors and cardiovascular disease are indeed something I want to talk about.
Yes, definitely.
Because it's fabulous news with that.
Yes, stay tuned there, John.
I promised I'd talk a little bit about the things I do for me, why I do them, and what I want to do for me in the future. Okay. I'm very aggressive about my own lifespan. And the part is not that I'm afraid of dying. You know, I've been close to dying often enough. I had enough scars on my body from my somewhat adventurous youth in the military that, you know, I've come close to dying. I don't mind that part. The thing is, I've got an 11-year-old daughter at home and a wife I adore. And the greatest joy in my life is taking care of them and helping her grow. I love being Ivory's daddy and Bandine's husband. So.
And they love you.
And well, that's what they claim. I want to hang around, not just alive, but living, vital, active, running, jumping, leaping, cavorting, dancing into the night as long as I can. Okay, so because I'm going to be 82 when my daughter graduates from high school. But I still want to be an 82-year-old who's on the ski slopes having a great time.
I have a feeling he will be.
So I do rapamycin. And I do higher doses of rapamycin than my patients do. And, you know, that's just because I'm a risk taker by nature. Dasatinib and quercetin, senescent cell therapy. Every cell in our body is designed to function for a certain period of time, and then it wears out. It's supposed to die and get replaced by a new cell to take its place. But certain number of cells in every tissue in our body, from our brain, our heart, our eyes, our kidneys, our skin, our bones, everywhere, certain number of cells become senile. They actually, at the end of their lifespan, but they don't die. They become the zombies, the living dead of our bodies. And these cells start kicking out chemicals that are opposed to growth and healing and repair. And they're actually poisoning all the cells around them. One senescent cell will stop the growth and development of 12 to 15,000 healthy cells. And as the senescent cell load builds up in our body as we age, at some point, there's a tipping point at which the senescent cells are actually preventing healing and repair to the degree that we start sliding downhill. We become sarcopenic. We start losing muscle and losing bone and losing brain and losing heart and losing kidney function, and everything starts sliding down. And that's what we call the dying of old age. You have basically so much of a senescent cell load in your body that the healthy cells can't function anymore, and you kind of wither up and die. In the animal studies, treating animals with one round of anti-senescent cell therapy extends their health span and lifespan 36%. Now, the best we ever get in our testing with rapamycin is a 15% improvement, and 36% with the senescent cell therapy. So I undergo periodic senescent cell therapy. I want to wipe out the majority of the senescent cells in my body so that my healthy cells can continue functioning and grow and heal and repair and keep me strong and robust. Okay. I also, of course, replace 6 different hormones every day of my life to keep the anabolic load, so my metabolism is shifted towards muscle and bone and brain and away from fat. So I want to stay lean and strong and fit. Periodically, about every 3 months or so, I undergo an intravenous exosome therapy, in which there are exosomes. These are acellular vesicles produced by stem cells that are excreted into their environment that tell the body to grow and heal and repair. And what they do is they take tissue from a newborn placenta. So the baby goes, and instead of throwing the placenta away, they take the placenta and the cord structures, and they macerate them, and they extract the stem cells and the exosomes from that. They let the stem cells produce more exosomes. They isolate the exosomes, filter them to take out any possible viruses, etc. And then every 3 to 4 months, I let them put a load of that into my bloodstream. And so I'm getting a big load of a newborn's RNA saying to my old cells, reprogram, grow, heal. You're just getting started in life. Let's be big and robust. And you have no idea how wonderful I feel in the months after I get that baby's burst of messenger RNA in my system. So those are the things I'm doing now, in addition to eating lightly and exercising regularly. What I want to do in the very near future is to reconstitute my immune system as much as possible by regenerating my thymus gland. Our immune system's job is to find things that are not healthy cells and kill them. So if we get a virus or a bacteria, our immune system finds and kills that bacteria and virus before it kills us. If we develop a malignant cell, a new cancer starting to form, our immune system is supposed to find that new cancer and kill it so it won't grow and can't kill us. But almost all of the cells of our immune system are produced before puberty. There's a gland we have at birth that's quite large in our chest in front of the heart called the thymus. And it's producing all of our immune cells that we're going to have in our lifespan. And it starts to shrink about 3 years or 4 years before puberty. And then in our adolescent years, it shrinks very quickly. And by the time you're 20, it's down about 90%. It's only about 10% of the size it was when you were born. And as we age, it continues to shrink. And so by 50, most people don't even have a thymus that you can find except on a very, very precise MRI. We see little remnants of it sitting in front of your heart. The consequence of that is, as we age, we're using up our immune cells. Our immune T cells and B cells are all being used up as we get infections and colds and injuries and stubbed toes and malignant cells that keep trying to form in our lifespan, and our immune system is protecting us. We use up all of the vast majority of our immune cells. So that after 50, our immune system is significantly depleted. Mm. And by 60, 70, 80, our ability to fight infections or to kill cancers is seriously impaired.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why old people die from the flu, and they die from COVID, and they die from cancer. Mm-hmm. We get these diseases because our immune system has been shriveling up and going away, and we're no longer able to fight it.
Mm.
Fascinating, in the over the last 3 years, there's a team at Stanford that has been doing some tests on humans. We've known it for animals for years. We're doing tests on humans to reconstitute that immune system and to make our thymus start to grow again and start kicking out more immune systems, like more immune cells, like we were young.
Mm.
And it's not a complex or difficult thing to do. The only problem is it requires a medication, growth hormone, that we can't use in Washington State.
Mm.
Our board is one of the few places in the country that does not permit us to use growth hormone in older people, which is just stupid. But they have the power. They don't have to be right. They have the power.
Wow.
So we don't use it, which is why I am on the search for a doctor in another state, like preferably Florida or Texas, just because I'd like to have an excuse to have to go there in the winter several times.
You said you were going to send our teams.
Yes.
I think you were the one who volunteered for that.
Yes, I did.
And your co-host to go and,
Yeah. So I am actively on the hunt for a doctor to partner with, so that my patients who want this form of medication, of therapy, could take a trip once in a year or two, get their prescription, come home, and then I would go ahead and monitor it for them, and we would try to reconstitute their immune system and try to give these 60, 70, 80-year-olds the immune response of a 40 or 50-year-old.
Well, I have patients that have been asking about, you know, us expanding to different states, and I keep telling them to keep listening because, yes, you're very interested, mm-hmm. and you're very keen.
Yes.
And in all these years that I've known you, this is the closest we have come to actually doing something.
Well, I have got two meetings in Miami, mm-hmm. one in April and one in May, mm-hmm. and my major goal for those meetings is not so much to go to the meetings for the information, because quite frankly, I think I already know most of what they're going to present. I could probably teach most of those classes.
Yes.
But I want to associate with doctors from those areas and see if I can round up somebody to work with.
Okay.
And in large measure for this very reason.
Are you going for a whole month, April and May? Or are you coming back and going again?
three days in April and 3 days in May.
Okay. Phew.
Okay.
So anyway, so that's what I've been doing, and that's what I intend to do in the very near future. But we just can't do it in Washington State. We just have to do it in states that actually believe in the law and the science.
There we go. And we're one of, what, three states that don't? We're in the teeny.
Well, there were three states that forbid growth hormone.
Okay.
10 or 15 years ago. I haven't even checked recently.
Wow.
15 years ago, it was Washington, Oregon, and Massachusetts. And all 47 other states allowed doctors to use it as need be. For all I know, we may be the last state in the union that doesn't let them. Who knows?
Wow.
But
all right.
Okay. But, you know, they got the power over my license, and so
yes,
I'm not going to fight with them. I'm going to disrespect them because they deserve disrespect, but I'm not going to fight with them.
There we go. All right. We'll build a clinic and next to Disney World. And okay. We're going to take a quick break.
No,
John.
I don't do Disney either. I believe that there are men and women, boys and girls.
That's right. John, we will be back to talk about the PDE5 with Dr. Mixon and Dr. Umat. Hilmer, we'll talk with you and also Rick calling in from Arizona. As Leading Edge Medicine continues, we will be right back. Stay there.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. The life I love is making music with my friends. And I can't wait to get on the road again.
On the road again. Oh, this is such a happy, fun song.
It is.
Yeah.
It's a happy, fun kind of a day. I like February. I like this lighter. It's warmer.
It's been cool.
I understand it's going to get cold again next week.
And fine. This is more light.
That's right.
We'll take it. Yes, we'll take the light and the little bit of a break. This is Leading Edge Medicine. We're glad that you're here. We've been talking about the gallery test that we are doing next week. And we will tell you just a little bit more about that at the end of the show today, too. So if you were wanting to know, you just tuned in and you're like, oh, yeah, are they going to do that again? Yes, we are. February the 10th at all of our clinics, Kirkland, Tacoma, and in Linwood as well. We'll give you the details at the end of the show. Let's get to John. He's been so patient. John calling in from Auburn. Welcome to the show, John.
Hello, John.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay. There is something I read online about PDE5 inhibitors in conjunction with patients who take nitroglycerin having heart attacks. Can you address that?
Yeah. PDE5 inhibitors keep you from destroying the nitric oxide in your bloodstream as efficiently. That's how they work. And so nitric oxide is a drug that dilates our blood vessels. So in order to have better erections, we keep nitric oxide, our arteries expand, and we are able to fill our genitals with more blood, and that's why you get a decent erection. The nitroglycerin is also a very potent blood vessel expander. It opens up your blood vessels dramatically. And the combination of the two can drop your blood pressure so low that you can either have a heart attack or a stroke because the blood is basically just pooled and there's nothing to circulate. Okay, so you don't want to take two potent blood vessel or blood pressure droppers at the same time. Does that answer your question?
It does. It seems to me the article I read could have explained that, but it didn't.
Articles written for the lay press usually are simplifying it because they assume we're all not just third graders, but somewhat slow third graders. And so, because I think most third graders will take better explanations than they will give us. Let me give you a little different view, though, on PDE5 inhibitors and heart attacks, okay? There was a fascinating study that we have talked about a few times on this show, and we actually have given copies of it to many of our patients, done on diabetics, because diabetics have a nasty habit of having heart attacks and dying much younger than the rest of us. This study looked at men between 50 and 80 and looked at the incidence of dying from heart attacks in people that were on statins, people that were on statins and PDE5 inhibitors, and people that were on testosterone or a statin or a PDE5 inhibitor. And what they found was that if you were a diabetic man, by age 80, you had a 30% chance of dying of a heart attack. If they put you on a statin, you had a 27% chance of dying of a heart attack. Saved about 3% of them. If they put you on testosterone, it dropped your percentage down to the mid-20s. If they put you on a PDE5 inhibitor, it dropped your risk down to the upper teens. But if they put you on all three, testosterone, a statin, and a PDE5 inhibitor, it dropped your risk of dying of a heart attack by 80 to 2%. So,
wow.
Turns out that testosterone protects you against heart attacks twice as well as a statin, and a PDE5 inhibitor nearly twice as much as testosterone. But I take them both.
You know, there's still a lot of stigma about heart disease and testosterone use. I still get patients come and tell me that their medical provider won't let them use testosterone because they have a family history or a personal risk for heart disease.
And the problem is he's looking at that old Veterans Administration study that claimed that that injections of testosterone increased the risk of cardiovascular disease in their cohort. But that study has not been replicated by anybody else on planet Earth.
And nor do we use injections.
No, nor do we use the injections. We vary their doses as needed. But the reality is testosterone overall protects against congestive heart failure. It protects against heart attacks. It protects against strokes. It protects against bone loss. And fascinating, interesting now, we know that in bone marrow, it actually regenerates your stem cells and helps you make blood better. And now the question is, wait a second, if it's protecting stem cells and giving you more healthier stem cells in your bone marrow, how is it helping you build all that other tendon, ligament, and muscle? Are we also improving our stem cells in our ligaments, tendons, and muscles? And that's now starting to be looked at.
Interesting.
So it may be that testosterone not only protects us against strokes and heart attacks and provides us with a better sex drive and more drive, ambition, it protects you against depression, but it may also be a body-wide stem cell protectant.
Yeah. You know, I want to take this opportunity to first also include women in this conversation about testosterone and to remind them that the physiological benefit of the hormone applies to them as well.
Oh, my goodness, does it ever.
And so they shouldn't ignore themselves, and they should not think of this as just a male hormone. And then secondly, also the stigma is in supraphysiological or very, very high doses. And if you stay within the normal ranges, then you can really benefit and not have the side effects of the hormone. And, you know, it's not just like Dr. Mixon just said, it's not just one or two things. There's so many other hormone benefits, bone, brain, self-confidence, bone marrow. This just goes on, you know, cardiovascular health, stroke risk reduction.
It is the primary human hormone.
Yeah.
And men and women. You know, young women have two and a half to three times more testosterone in their bloodstream than they have estrogen. You don't realize that. All humans need the testosterone, and it declines with age. As long as we're talking about women. Women in the United States that have had no hormone therapy of any kind, their doctors did not give them estrogen or testosterone or anything else, their risk of breast cancer is 320 breast cancers per 100,000 women years. Okay? 320 per 100,000. Women who use testosterone intermittently, not starting until they're in their 50s, cut that risk to about 116 breast cancers per 100,000 women years. So you cut your breast cancer risk by almost two-thirds. Women who use testosterone consistently every month, the breast cancer risk is 50 per 100,000 woman years. From 320 with no hormone to 50 with constant testosterone usage.
And then the thing here is that most doctors will never measure a testosterone level on a female patient, on a woman.
They won't measure it.
They will never, ever measure it. And they rarely measure testosterone for men, too. You really have to ask for it.
Yep. But for some reason, I mean, this is the hormone that young women have more than any other hormone in their system. And for some reason, most doctors won't measure it in any woman. And it's just crazy. So anyway, I think we ran far afield from John's question.
Yeah, we did, with the PDE5 inhibitors.
John, are you still on the line?
And the triglycerin, sorry.
I'd also like to digress.
All right.
There was a study done in the Philippines with about 98, I don't know, it was young boys or young boys and girls. And by eating 140 milligrams or 280 milligrams of canned pineapple every day, they improve their white blood cell count. It's on PubMed, this study.
Okay.
And I was just wondering what you might know about that.
I don't. It's not a study I've ever read. For one thing, it's pediatric, and, you know, I treat old folks. But now that you've mentioned it, I'll see if I can do a quick search for it and see what I find.
The other thing is, over here at the hospital that I go to, with the discount for paying cash, a colonoscopy is $4,800. At a very reputable hospital in Thailand, it's $700.
Mm. Yeah, I know. Hospital charges are outrageous. They just are. I mean, who the hell needs to pay $15 for one Tylenol pill? You know? Hey, come on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Have you ever heard of Pico Prep? This is what they used to prepare her for the colonoscopy. You know anything about it?
No. Yeah, I don't do colonoscopies on patients, and so I'm not very familiar with the preps. I've had a few, but, you know, now I use the Cologuard. As long as it's negative, I'm going to keep using Cologuard. It takes no prep. So.
Okay, and Dr. Matt's quickly looking it up.
Yeah, it's
anything
just a
there?
Bowel cleanse.
Okay.
Prior to surgical procedures.
Okay. All right, well. Thank you very much for the call, sir. But
thank
we've got
you,
other folks waiting. We better get to them.
Yes.
Talk to you next time. Bye-bye, sir.
All right. We're going to take a quick break, and then we will be back. This is Leading Edge Medicine, brought to you by Longevity Medical Clinics. And we want you to come in for that free health analysis appointment. We're still offering that. So important for you to come in for those two simple tests to find out what is going on with you and what longevity can do for you so that you can live life stronger. And faster and
stronger, faster, leaner, smarter,
sexier
and happier.
Here is that number to make your appointment right now. Don't let another day go by without calling us up and making your appointment. You can pick Kirkland, Tacoma, or Linwood as your clinic. Pick the day and the time that works the best for you. Here's the number, 866-86-YOUNG. That's 866-86-YOUNG. Or you can go online and find out more about us and book your appointment there as well. It's lmclinic.com. This is Leading Edge Medicine. We're going to take a quick break, and we're back with Hilmer next.
Wow! I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. I feel good. I knew that I would not. So good, so good. I got a year.
Good. Hi there and welcome back to Leading Edge Medicine. My name is Lynette, here along with the doctors in the studio taking your calls at 800-465-8770. Dr. Jerry Nixon and Dr. Samira Umat. Okay, we've got Rick, Beth, and Hilmer on the line. So let's go to Hilmer in Redmond. Good morning, Hilmer.
Good morning. Rapamycin again.
Okay.
I think you may have already answered my question, but nevertheless, I started rapamycin here about 3 months ago or so. Prior to taking that, I was taking metformin for several years.
Uh-huh.
And I found that I was, I'm 67 now, and so I found that I was losing muscle mass, and because I work out all the time. I have adequate protein intake. I take all the hormones, but nevertheless, I felt like I was not really losing muscle mass. So here, I get on rapamycin, and within a couple of months or so, I've my weight increased from like 180 to like 185, but it came back as muscle mass, which was like, I'm going, is this for real? Is this coincidence or what? I stayed on the metformin, and I just added the rapamycin. Everything else remains the same. And then I heard you talking about earlier about, you know, sarcopenia and lack of loss of muscle tissue. And I go, really? is that sound reasonable to you?
Well, yeah, actually, one of the things rapamycin does is it doesn't kill senescent cells as efficiently as anti-senescent therapies, but it helps to prevent the formation of new senescent cells. Our older immune system clears them more slowly. See, when a youngster, if you're 15, 20 years old and your body forms a senescent cell, your immune system will recognize this abnormal cell and destroy it in about a day to a day and a half. It doesn't take long for it to find and kill it. By the time you're over 60, your immune system may let that senescent cell hang around 2-3 weeks. And in your 70s and 80s, it may be there for months before your tired old immune system finally gets around to killing it. And so they build up. Not only do we make senescent cells faster as we get older, but we are less and less efficient at getting rid of them. And so they, you know, a 70-year-old may have, you know, 150 times as many senescent cells as a 30-year-old. And so anything that slows the formation, your immune system is still trying to clear them. But the rapamycin boosts your immune system, so it does a better job of clearing, and it slows the formation of senescent cells. And as you then have fewer senescent cells inhibiting your muscle growth, you're able to make lean body mass more efficiently. That's one of the ways that it helps to extend lifespan and health span.
I also read, online, you go online, you read people, what they, I got off that, I got on that. And one person said, I'm getting off, I got off of metformin because I was losing muscle mass. And I thought to myself, okay, have you checked into the possibility that the metformin is lowering your testosterone levels? Maybe that's why you're losing muscle mass. Does that make any sense?
Yes. And again, here in longevity, we check all of your hormones, your thyroid, your pregnenolone, your progesterone, your estradiol, your testosterone, your dehydroepiandrosterone, every 3 months. We make sure those levels stay in a robust, physiologic, younger person's range. And we let you have your rapamycin and your senescent cell therapy or anything else you need. And so there's no substitute for doing a comprehensive program. You know, folks try this, they try that. What they forget is aging is a complex process. There's a lot of different things going on. And the more of those things we treat, the better results we get. And there is no one magic bullet for aging. There just isn't. You know, and that's why we have a complex, comprehensive program. And that's why for people that want to be really aggressive like me, we get even more stuff available all the time.
Yeah. You know, and sometimes people will ask me, well, how much more? And I go, well, it's up to you. You know, it's not my decision what you want. My decision is to just inform you and advise you about all the things that are available. And thank God there are so many more things now than before. But remember that aging in and of itself is the number one cause of disease.
Yes. And you have to remember, old age kills 100% of its victims. And I personally believe that anything that has a 100% fatality rate should be addressed. So,
I'm on all of the above. I mean, I'm doing all the hormones, everything. So, I mean, I get on rapamycin, then I start my biceps got more muscular, my biceps gained. I mean, I'm just calling. That's interesting.
Sure. So we see that in the experimental animals. You know, these old, frail animals start getting more robust. They run their treadmills more. They mate more often. They, you know, they look and feel and act. Well, I can't tell you feel. Who knows how a mouse feels? But they act as though they are younger animals.
Yeah, they do. But, you know, we don't know who's going to experience what, right, Jerry?
No, we don't.
Some people will have more impact on their cognitive function. Somebody will have more muscle mass. Somebody's renal function will improve. We don't know what will happen.
There's no
marker, really.
And, you know, some people, their gray hair starts turning dark again.
Yeah. And some people notice nothing.
Yeah, and mine has not. You know, but then I started off blonde. I probably
you're still blonde.
I have no melanocytes left in my hair at this age to turn dark. My wife, on the other hand, was about 2/3 gray and 1/3 dark. She went on the rapamycin, and she is now 2/3 dark and 1/3 gray.
Okay.
You know, so her hair is getting darker again. Some of us will get this improvement. Some get that improvement. We're different people with different genomes. And how any given drug affects this person may not be how it affects everybody. So, you know,
is there any immediate effect to taking rapamycin? Let's say you take it early in the morning, you take like 6-7 milligrams, and then I go to the gym about, you know, like maybe 10 or 11. This could be imaginary. I don't know, but it seems like the days that I dropped the rapamycin, my workouts are stronger. Am I imagining that?
I wouldn't think so, no. But, you know, I can't tell you exactly what's going on. But, you know, that higher dose may be having a paradoxical effect for some brief period. We aren't even sure how rapamycin does its magic. You know, we know some things it does. It changes the histone coiling of your DNA so that your genetic material becomes more tightly packed and less susceptible to mutations and damage. We know that it alters the flora in your gut, so your bowel biome is being altered and changed. We know it has a direct effect on your immune systems. We know it has, you know, there's a whole lot of things going on with this drug. And, you know, can I explain why for a few hours you might have less strength? No.
more strength, actually. I get stronger on the day that I take it.
Oh, okay.
That's kind of, I just feel like, I've noticed a couple of times, it's on Tuesdays, I drop it, I go to the gym on Tuesdays.
Sure.
And I notice that I am, and I go, hey, you took this, you know, about 5 this morning. Now it's 10 o'clock. And I'm going, you're telling yourself that you're stronger now than, you know, just because you took that drug this morning? I'm going,
but it may dilate the blood vessels. You may get better blood flow there. You may get a little better oxygen exchange in your lungs. I mean, there's a lot of subtle things that can impact exercise, strength, and tolerance on any given day. So,
okay.
Once more, we call this leading edge medicine. You know, I almost called it cutting edge medicine, but there's an old saw that says he on the cutting edge bleeds. So I said, no, we'll do leading edge instead. But when you're doing out on the leading edge, you don't always have all the answers. You have to be honest with people and tell them, you know, here's what we know. Here's what we think. Here's what we don't know. You know? And you pays your money. You takes your chances. I mean, that's the real world.
Yeah. Well, the rapamycin journey continues. So, you know, anyway.
Okay. Yeah, well, you know, that's why the last big dog study that Kaepernick was doing is he was giving it to him 3 days a week. You know, instead of 1 day a week, he was doing 3 days a week with his dogs and got fabulous results and even improved their cardiac output. So, you know, is our 1 day a week the optimal time? Should we be doing 2 days or 3 days or 3 days 1 week and four? Who knows? Yeah. We just don't know enough. We're going to learn. We are in the process.
Yeah.
But we only know what we know.
Okay.
All
right. Take care, sir.
Thank you so much, Elmer. Okay, we're going to take a quick break and then back with Rick and Beth. And it looks like we have another caller as well. This is Leading Edge Medicine. Thank you for listening. Stay right there. We'll be back. Welcome back. This is Leading Edge Medicine. We're glad you're here. We're glad you're listening on this wonderful first weekend of February. We're going to hop over to West Seattle. We have Donna with a question. Hi there, Donna.
Hello, Donna.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. We had a study and also heard on the news about this growth hormone treatment as a cause of possible mad cow disease leading to dementia.
And that was true. Of course, that was true back before 1988. Not anymore. Used to be when people had pituitary damage and they needed growth hormone, the only place they could get it was from cadavers. They actually took dead people and ground up their pituitary to get the growth hormone. And it took a lot of dead people to treat one live person. But some of those people would have prions, and so once in a while, the growth hormone would give someone a prion disease in their brain and they would die. That was the impetus for trying to develop an artificially made growth hormone. So in 1989, recombinant growth hormone was perfected, and it's now grown in yeast, big vats of yeast that have been genetically modified to make human growth hormone. Okay, so there's no danger of prions anymore. There has not been a single case in the United States since 1989.
Wow, that's a few years.
Because now, why some reporter decided to scare everybody with something that happened 50 years ago?
Yeah,
you know, and before. But you know, children with growth deficits back in the 1960s and 70s and 80s were at risk. But that risk went away when recombinant growth hormone production was started in the laboratory, and there are no longer any prions out there to get in anybody's brain. The only place to get mad cow disease now is by undercooking a mad cow.
Ah, okay.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, well, I thought it was interesting, and I know that's one of your areas that you're of interest.
Yes, I know. I saw that article, and I didn't know whether to swear, spit, or throw things.
So you did all three? We'll talk about it on the radio.
Whenever one of these reporters says, oh, my goodness, I've got a scoop, and it turns out he's only 50 years out of date or something doesn't happen anymore.
There you go.
Well, that's news.
That's right. Thank you, Donna.
Yeah, this came from the College of London, and I thought, that's probably okay, isn't it?
Only if they're still using cadaver growth hormone in London. I can't swear what they're doing over there. They have socialized medicine. Who the hell knows what they're doing?
That's for sure.
You know.
Okay.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Donna. Now, are you ready to go to Arizona? We've got Rick on the line.
He's been ready all winter.
Oh, yes. Rick, thank you so much for your patience. How can we help?
Hello, Rick.
Good morning. So before, I got a couple medical questions, but first I want to plug Phoenix as your second location for you. Because we've already got the Mayo Clinic down here, and why not add another world-class medical clinic and longevity down here?
Phoenix is on my list of states, but it's not on the highest. I'm picking the states that don't have a state income tax first. Because I already give 40% to the feds. You know, I'm not about to give another 13% to California or New Jersey or New York. Because that would then mean I'm giving away 53% of every dollar I earn. And I'd like to have some to take home to my family. So, Florida, Texas, Tennessee, you know, those are my first three. And after I run out of income tax-free states, then I'll start moving into the low-income tax states.
It's a lot easier to get to Arizona from Seattle than...
You do know that his wife doesn't want to go anywhere, right?
Oh, she loves it here, yes.
Yeah, there will be clinics everywhere, but I have to stay here because my wife loves Kirkland. Okay. Just Kirkland. She hates Seattle. She loathes the politics in this state, but she loves Kirkland. Mm-hmm. You know, we have a home that is half a block from the Cross Kirkland corridor. Oh.
Perfect.
And so every day we're out, you know, that's a 7 mile long trail with green and beautiful views. And so we're out hiking and running and jumping and having a great time. And so we want to be in this town where we can walk downtown and enjoy ourselves.
I'm in Kirkland 7 months of the year. I spent the five dreary winter months down here.
Okay.
I understand.
Just you and the cactus.
But I'll tell you what I may do one of these days is find a doctor that I can associate with instead of having going to the expense of opening a clinic myself.
Yeah.
There you go. That
but yeah,
would work.
I am in major growth mode right now. We are looking that as soon as the economy picks up, mm-hmm. you know, right now the middle class is getting crushed. And so Mr. and Mrs. Joe Average, you know, they have not had a 18% increase in their expense since Mr. Biden's been elected. They're paying 25 to 30% more to get the same services they had before. And, you know, that's just awful. So someday we'll get an administration who actually believes in profit.
Yes.
So, okay. Tell me about medicine. So what can I help you with?
Medical. So I was playing pickleball last night, and I strained a quad muscle, and I immediately stopped play, went home, took ibuprofen, elevated, and iced the leg. But I've got a dance tomorrow night and two dances next weekend, so I need some leading-edge recovery advice to maximize my
I love
recovery
that.
Time.
He sounds like a go-go-goer like you, Dr. Mixon. Yes.
All right. Well, this is a problem because we had a short term.
Yeah.
So, let's see. What was that song from Smokey and the Bandit? We got a long way to go and a short time to get
there.
Ah, dear. All right. I mean, typically I'd tell you, you know, the first 24 hours of ice to stop the bleeding because you may have a little fascial or muscle fiber tear.
Yeah.
And then warm compresses after that to increase the blood flow and the healing. Ibuprofen is okay. If you are one of our Relief Factor customers, I'd say take three packets a day for a little bit. I have even taken four when I've strained a muscle. It decreases the inflammation dramatically, and that in turn decreases the pain and allows you to function better. So if you don't have Relief Factor, then you need to go out and get yourself a big dose of resveratrol and curcumin. Icarin is the third or is another ingredient, but you're not going to be able to find much of that. The only place you buy Icarin is in the convenience store as an aphrodisiac, because it's extracted from something called the horny goat weed. And if horny goat weed is not an aphrodisiac, it should be just based on the
name.
On the name. But when I put the Icarin in the Relief Factor, I said, you know, if we're going to have a side effect, horny goats is a pretty good side effect to have, so why not? And then, of course, a big whack of omega-3s. So big dose of fish oil, big dose of resveratrol, and a big dose of curcumin. That's your best bet if you don't have the Relief Factor, because those are the active ingredients.
Okay.
Answer your question.
I got one other quick question, probably for Dr. Umass. This is, I've been applying an anti-wrinkle product to my face at night, and my understanding is it contains retinol as an active ingredient, and I saw a post on the internet by a dermatologist who said that products with retinol were a waste of money, but she said a prescription cream with retin A would help. What's your thoughts?
What do you think, Dr. Mixon?
I think retinol works, but not as effectively as the Retin-A. Retinol is an isomer. It does a similar effect, but much more gently, which is why it's sold over the counter.
Exactly.
The Retin-A is a prescription drug, and it has more side effects, and you have to be more cautious with it.
Yeah, and when you're here, you can come to Bella Medica and see one of our girls, and they'll tell you. And I don't keep patients on it all the time. They cycle on and off.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, avoid sunshine.
Sun exposure, yeah. So you're in Arizona. You should be careful.
So don't you would not recommend the Retin-A, at least when I'm in Arizona?
No, I would not recommend it in, in Arizona. Retin-A is fine, but you have to be under a physician's care because it is so strong that some people get rather dramatic rashes. It doesn't take much sun to even up here. You can get enough sun to get a real bloom from Retin-A up here. So retinol is gentler, it's slower, but it's safer. And if you're not under the care of a physician for it, it's probably the best you're going to do.
Yep.
Okay. Any products in particular that you found most effective for the retinol?
I've
been taking Trivectin SD Advanced Plus. I don't know if that's one that you're familiar with.
I'm not familiar with it. We're fairly familiar with the ones we carry in our Meta Spa. But
yeah, actually, you can go to our website and see if our products are not listed there.
Well, no, they're going to be on the new version that comes out, but that won't be out for a few more months. So, no. But you could actually call Bella Medica on Monday.
Well, they're open today, too.
Are they open today? Mm-hmm. Oh, so when you hang up for me, give them a call and ask them which one they recommend.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right?
I'll do that. Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you for your call, Rick.
Bye-bye.
Enjoy your weekend.
Bye-bye.
Wow. So many different comments and topics today. Our time is up. And we do want to mention the gallery test that is going on at all of our longevity clinics. This is the last week to remind you to get that call in and get scheduled for the gallery test next Saturday, Linwood, Tacoma, and our beautiful new Kirkland facility, too. Could you tell us in about a minute what that gallery test will do for us?
Yeah, it's early detection for cancer. I know cancer is a scary word and people kind of don't want to know, but with cancer the thing is the sooner you know the better off you'll be. And with Galleri, one blood test, they can detect DNA changes in the blood for about 50 different cancers, and it's the worst of the cancers for which there is no screening that you really want to go after, so pancreatic, bile duct, liver cancers, and they're very good for that. So highly recommended. It is expensive, but it's well worth it for peace of mind.
Wonderful. And you can get that scheduled today by calling us at 866-86-YOUNG. That's 866-86-YOUNG. You can also go to our website for details at lmclinic.com. All right, we'll be back next week with another live show in the studio with Dr. Samira Umat and Dr. Jerry Mixon. I'm Lynette. Thank you for listening and thank you for being a part of our day. We'll be back next week as well. Have a great weekend.